Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And beer.
And beer. Just a crazy Florida man and a crazy Texas woman drinking beer, talking about true crime. Although I don't think you're drinking beer.
I'm not. I usually drink Corona, but my husband drank the last one, so I made myself a margarita this afternoon.
Yeah, I saw it was green.
Yeah.
Anyway, tonight we have sitting in, we have Jessica from Texas True Crime,
Hey, y'all.
One of my favorite newer podcasts, and she actually picked out the subject. So
Well,
so it's not from Wisconsin.
and no, and you can't really get any crazier than a Texas funeral director who likes to hang out with old ladies.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, the corn rake episode, our Patreon subscriber, she picked up. It's like she knows us well, because that
Yeah,
case was
that
right
was
up our
a good
alley.
one.
And it's the same thing with this one. It's like you know us well because you picked a good one. You picked one that's perfect for, you know, for me. And
you know, it's definitely one of those stranger than fiction.
We're covering Bernie Teed.
Yes.
And I was new to this case. I had just discovered it when you suggested it to me, and I was so new to it that I didn't even recognize it. And once I started listening, you know, looking into it, I was like, oh, okay, I know this one.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't, I don't think a lot of people realize that the movie that Richard Linklater made in the early 2000s was actually based on a real character. Not a real
Yeah.
character, a real person, you know, that Bernie's not just a character.
Well, according to,
So,
you know, I went back and I, you know, when before I started my notes on this one, I was looking over, I was like, okay, who, I know I've listened to an episode, and it's one of the podcasts that I really like a lot, because I remember, I couldn't remember which one. So I just typed in Bernie Teed and True Crime Kent came up. They did one like last year.
Okay.
So I listened to it. I was just like, oh, but the thing is I don't think I listened to that. I think I missed that episode.
Oh, man.
Because you know how if you go back and listen to something that you've heard, you know, like a while ago, things will start. Oh, I remember that. I remember
Yeah,
that.
it starts
Nothing.
to click. Yeah. Oh,
Nothing.
that's the one you missed.
Yeah. And I thought I had listened to every single one of their episodes. They've been around longer than I have, but we have more episodes than they do because they do wait like 2-3 weeks in between episodes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wish I could do that, but no, can't kill the
No.
momentum.
No, got to keep going. Same.
But so I still can't remember which podcast it was where I had heard that story. So it wasn't True Crime Kent.
Yeah. I mean, ooh, I'm not sure because I haven't heard, I have not heard, I know he's been covered because people know about him, you know?
Morbid covered him recently.
Oh, okay.
But
I have
I
not
don't
listened to their episode,
I don't
but
think
I do
I don't
like Morbid.
I didn't listen to I don't think I've listened to theirs either, but it was fairly recent. But
Yeah.
but I didn't want to really, if I know I'm going to cover something, I usually don't go back and listen to an episode right before I start the notes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same. I try not to too because I don't want to
You don't want to be
accidentally.
influenced.
Right. Yeah. Someone said, well, you sound just like whatever. That's like I was telling you, I like to listen to prosecutors. And I had just finished The Man Who Killed Halloween. And I was so glad that I had already done it because I clicked to listen to them and they were covering the exact same thing. And I was like, are you kidding me? But I listened to theirs, but I was like, oh, I'm glad mine's done because then I don't have to
Yeah.
worry about being influenced or someone say, well, you just ripped them off.
Funny you mentioned that, because when we recorded our Toolbox Killer episode,
Yeah.
it was like a couple, you know, we were ahead at that point, and like the following week after we recorded ours, there were like four or five different podcasts that all put out Toolbox Killer episodes. So
Yeah.
it's like, okay, we're just going to sit on this one for a while.
Yeah.
And we waited about probably like like 4 or 5 months before we actually released ours.
No, you do. You hate to just be like right on the coattails of
Right.
a bunch of others, but it does seem like that happens sometimes. There's like a wave, and you're like, man, I just heard somebody who did
And it's
this.
totally coincidental because I don't know what another podcast is doing.
No. Yeah, no, not at all. I know. It is funny though how it kind of does goes in waves like that.
Yeah, and obviously there's another wave right now with, the Morbid recently did Bernie Teed. Now we're
Yeah.
doing it, and
I know, and I wonder, I mean, I have intended to cover him at some point because he is just so over the top.
Oh
Just so
yeah.
over the top, you know.
Now
So when
there may be a hot take or two in this,
okay.
but I mean I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve to be in prison, but
Oh,
we'll get to that.
yeah. I'm with you though. I agree. But yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, I'm not on that side of the railroad tracks of Carthage, Texas.
Yeah, I know, which is so crazy. But that's what I think is so funny, that their DA was so disgusted. He was like, "What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, I know.
He murdered an old lady, shot her in the back, and y'all just
Yeah,
are
just
like, but he's so nice."
and she was a bitch.
Right, yeah. They were all just like, "Well, she was awful. Wait, you know," and like, "Oh, so she deserved to be shot?"
She would have
Okay.
died. She would have died within 5 years anyway.
I was gonna say she was already old. It's not like
But I am
come on.
definitely glad that you. And this is why I let guests, like if somebody's going to come on with me, I let them pick the
Yeah.
topic because it works out better that way. Because, the guy that did Heaven's Gate, the came on for that one. He picked Heaven's Gate. The guy before him that was on, he picked Chris Watts. And then. Yeah, it's just like all of the guests that we've had, with the exception of I think one episode, because I already had it written. But I let the guests pick the topic.
Oh, and you know, then like I'm bringing a little Texas today.
Yep. So just for clarification, I am allowed in Texas. And
Yes, you're
Todd's allowed
definitely,
in Texas,
yeah,
because he was
definitely
worried
allowed
about
in
that because
Texas.
he wanted to go to Vinny's like really bad.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah,
yeah, no. He's allowed. Don't worry. Tell him not to worry. Like I said, I feel like most Texans have a pretty good sense of humor.
right, let's get
All right. Let's do
started.
it.
Yeah, we yeah having fun feeling each other out. That's
Yeah.
cool. So anyway,
Yeah.
Bernie Teed was a mortician who was convicted of moida.
Yes, he was.
On November 19th of 1996, he killed an 81-year-old widow named Marjorie Nugent. And
Yes.
she was actually Ted Nugent's mother. Or maybe she wasn't. Maybe I just pulled that out of my ass in the very first line of the episode.
I was gonna say, from everything everyone said about Marjorie, she way was had a stick up her ass. There was no way that she was Ted's mom.
Although there's all this speculation about was she and Bernie like romantically involved, and Ted Nugent liked the young girls, it could have worked,
This
but
is
like,
true.
could, it might be onto something
I
here.
don't know. Maybe so. And she did say she was a, it did say she was estranged from her son. So, you know, maybe
Yeah.
he really wasn't a doctor. Maybe he was Ted.
Oh, maybe she had another kid named Ted who played a mean guitar.
An unknown son.
Yeah. Maybe she put him up for adoption.
Maybe so.
Anyway, or maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe we just made that up.
So Bernie was 38 years old at the time of mur at the time of the murder, and Marjorie was a millionaire. And nobody in Carthage, Texas liked her one bit. And this isn't what she looked like, but I picture her as like Glenn Close's Cruella DeVille, but with more conservative clothing.
Totally. That is definitely how everyone in town described her. And she probably was just a hateful old thing, but you kind of feel sorry for her because everyone was like, oh, she was awful. You know, that's the last thing you want people to say after you've been murdered. They don't have something nice to say. They're like, oh, she was just a little old bitch. You
Yeah, but
know?
I mean, but she's just like, you know, the if you're that much of a, obviously she just didn't give two shits about what anybody thought of her.
And you gotta admire her for that.
Yeah, and
She
I
just.
was lit, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just gonna say that, just like, but because she just, you know, she don't care. She's doing her thing.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't care if you like me. And you know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to donate to every cause in town. Yes, I'm rich, but I'm keeping my money for myself. Yeah.
Yep. So, but she, you know, she, you know, there we go. Cruella DeVille with the more conservative clothing, but the, yeah, you know, but the crazy hair and the wicked devious eyes, you know, in my head, it's a dead ringer.
Yeah.
Although, but in real life, she just looked like a typical grandma that, and if you saw her on the street. If you saw her on the street, you'd never peg her for the absolute monster that she was.
No, she looks like pretty much everybody's grandma that I know, you know?
Yeah, she really does. She had like auburn hair with a tint of gray to it, and it was kind of cut like, you know, like just above the shoulders.
Well,
You know.
and she, you can tell she went to the beauty parlor once a week and
Oh
had
yeah.
it done, you
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
teased it out every morning, you know.
Now, Carthage was an oil town, and Marge's husband, Rod Nugent, he had struck gold with the Texas tea business. Now, you spoke in depth about how all that came to be in one of your episodes. Can you give us that in a nutshell?
So, I mean, the let's see, that was back in the Gold Porsche robbery
Yeah,
episode.
that
And
crazy
yeah,
episode.
so at that, so really it was in the late 70s and the early 80s, the Texas oil boom hit and it was huge. And for a while, if you had anything to do with the oil field, you were making money hand over fist. But
Right.
then in the mid 80s, the bottom fell out. And so there were a few people that held on to their money that had really thought things through, invested in other things. But most people just hit rock bottom and were bankrupt.
But Rod
But
Nugent
Rod was
was
one of
not
those.
one of these people that did that. He was smart.
Yeah, he had managed to hold on to his money. He didn't just dump it all back into the oil field. Like pretty much everybody, or spend everything he had and didn't put anything back.
Right.
That was one thing. People were just like spending their money. They weren't even thinking about a rainy day. They just acted like that oil was going to flow for forever.
Black
But the
Gold,
problem,
Texas
that's
tea.
right. Yeah. But they weren't thinking about oil embargoes or anything else. They just were like, woohoo.
When Rod died, Marge got his fortune, but Marge also came from wealth as well, and she literally never worked a day in her life.
No, she was definitely a little rich girl all on her own before she ever met Rod.
Yeah, but put a knife in that. And in a lot of these stories, you have the victim being described as she loved to laugh. She had a smile that would light up a room, and everybody loved her. She
Yes.
was a treasure to the town.
Yes, everyone loved her and she was the sweetest, most giving person. Right,
Yeah.
but that was not Marjorie.
No, you never hear it. You never hear anybody say, "Well, she was a piece of shit, and I'm glad the bitch is dead."
Yeah, no one ever says that,
But they
but
did about Marge.
they did. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the sad part is poor Marge.
Well,
And, you know, Bernie,
you reap what you sow.
true, true. And I say poor Marge. I mean, you know, you can't go around, especially in a small Texas town. If you, and it's probably like that in any small town, but being a small Texas town girl myself, I know if you're going around being a bitch to everybody and you're unpleasant, then that's what people are going to say about you. And they're not going to have any sympathy. They're going to be like,
Right.
well, she wasn't nice when she was alive. And we're not going to pretend that she was nice now that she's dead, you know?
Right. So. Exactly. And, you know, just like I live in a bigger like I don't live in a big city, but I live in a bigger city.
Yeah.
But my job takes me through some towns like this, like Arcadia, Florida. You know, that it's just like that there's like three stoplights and, you know, there and the buildings in the downtown area were built in the 1800s and they're still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that,
and
that
you
seems
know,
to be what
that's the
Carthage
thing.
is.
Yes. Very, yes. And you know, that's the thing. Everybody knows everybody. So you're not getting away with anything. You know, you are who you are, and everyone knows your business, whether you want them to or not.
Right. So it's cool to go through towns like that, but I don't think I could live in one personally.
Yeah. You know, it has its pluses and minuses. I'll say that.
Well, for one thing, I'm a single man and I'm 50 years old. So, I mean, me in a town like that, I might as well just okay, I'm going to be celibate for
Yeah. Oh,
the rest of my life. So yeah, I need to be in a bigger, you know, more metropolitan area,
yeah.
just you know, for
Yeah.
that.
Definitely, yeah.
So, but lots of people said, you know, something similar about, she's a piece of shit. I'm glad she's dead. When her body was discovered, and one family member said that Marge had her nose so high up in the air that if it rained, she would drown.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'm not gonna put Marge in the same category. We don't, you know, I don't mock the victim in these stories, although there have been a couple ones where I did, but they deserved it. Like, for
Yeah.
example, Henry Lee Lucas's mother.
Yeah.
She
You
deserved it.
know.
She
Yeah.
deserved, she, I mean, I'm not gonna say she deserved to get killed, but at the same time, it's just like she was a horrible person.
Right. Like you said, you reap what you sow. And
Right.
you got Henry
Or
Lee
another
as
one,
your kid.
Dee Dee Blanchard.
Yeah, and I will say that is one case where I really almost feel like she should not have gone, Gypsy should not have gone to jail because
Not at all. But she's getting out this
bless,
month. She's being released this
yeah,
month.
that's true. Because bless her heart, bless her heart, she didn't know up from down. And for half her life, she thought she was probably dying, you know? I
Yeah.
mean, I feel like that's one of those cases where I don't really know if she really deserved to go to jail. I know she killed
No.
her mother, but let's be honest.
But the thing is, and why her defense attorney didn't take this angle in court is beyond me. Dee Dee would have killed Gypsy eventually.
Eventually, exactly. And that's what I was going to say. Eventually, she would have been killed by all the things her mother did to try to make her sick so that
Well,
they could
no,
continue.
not even that. What if Dee Dee had continued to rebel?
Oh.
She, Dee Dee, if Gypsy had continued to rebel, Dee Dee would have offed her. She
Yeah.
threatened it. She broke her hand.
Right, that's true. I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't just
This is a self-defense.
it really is. You're right. And I kind of had wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking about the fact that all the fake illnesses and the things she did to her to make her appear sick, that alone right there is
Right.
terrible. But yeah, you're right. She did. She
Now
used physical violence too to keep her in line. So,
she probably wouldn't have just come out and broken her neck or beat her head in or anything like that, but she would have poisoned her.
I was going to say she would have slipped a little something into her drink or whatever she was eating. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, from CKCB, welcome back to society, Gypsy.
Yeah.
I mean, she's getting out in like a week or two.
It is. I just, now that you said that, I just read an article about the fact that she's about to be back out in the world.
Yeah,
But how crazy. She's never been in the world. She
no,
hasn't, she
but
doesn't have a clue.
she did jump on Prison Tinder and found herself a husband.
Well, you know, that, and that just floors me. Like, just.
Now that she looks normal and everything, she's got her, you know, she's got like either dentures or implants or something, you know,
Yeah.
her everything's back. She's actually a pretty young lady.
I mean, she is. She's an attractive young woman, but it's just like that has got to be kind of scary though, because she's never really been allowed to just
Well,
do her own thing.
that's why I'm glad that she met this guy on Prison Tender.
I mean, I'm sure that when you meet your future love on Prison Tender, it's probably.
Well, this isn't the girl that you covered in your latest episode. This is Gypsy Blanchard.
Yes, and Stephanie's got her like multiple men she's leading on Prison Tender.
That blew my mind. That's like, what?
I know. And I don't know if any of that blog was real or if people just wrote in to mess with everyone else. But it was hilarious just reading the back and forth.
Agreed. So, oh man. At this late point in her life, she had, Marge had no friends and all of her family despised her to the point to where her body wouldn't be discovered for 9 months after she had been killed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Bernie was able to make up all these excuses and no one really cared to check in and find out.
Yeah. And nobody kept in touch with her at all. It's just like, once she died, all her family members, oh, we're close. We all loved her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at that point, because they were hoping to get some money from Marge.
Money.
Yeah, exactly what it was. Otherwise, they didn't care one bit.
So this story was made into a movie, Bernie, starring Jack Black as Bernie and Matthew McConaughey as the prosecutor. I think it was the prosecutor. I haven't seen it, but yeah. I might watch it soon.
And Shirley MacLaine plays Marge.
But from what I've heard, the movie gets an awful lot spot on.
Since I don't actually know any of them, I can't speak for sure, but it is very entertaining. I can say that.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. And I wasn't going to watch it before doing the episode because I didn't want it to influence me in any way, shape, or form, because I wouldn't want to say any. Well, like, for example, I brought up Larry Hall a little while ago in the Blackbird series on Apple Plus. There's a prison riot. There was no prison riot. That was if there's podcasts out there saying, oh, and then there was a prison riot, you didn't read the book, you just watched the series. And I have heard one or two episodes where it's like, yeah, and then there was a prison riot. Another one.
No, not really. Yeah.
I've got the book right back there in my bookshelf.
and I think maybe in the IMDb blurb, it does say that it's been dramatized, so.
Yeah, but the majority of it, they did get right. But any prison series or movie's got to have a prison riot.
Sure. I mean, hey, even back in the 70s, Charlie's Angels had a prison riot and they broke out. Come on.
Okay, sources for this one are a little bit of Wiki, The Sins and Secrets documentary, Carthage, Season 3, Episode 16, and TexasMonthly.com. And to clarify, I wasn't saying that Marge in any way deserved what happened to her, but it's important that you know the person that she was, and to say she wasn't a very nice person would be an understatement.
Yes. I mean, it's one of those things. It's not victim blaming or shaming, but it's the victimology. Right. She was not a pleasant person. Mm-mm.
But now we're going to switch to Bernie and who he was. Because honestly, if you asked what Bernie was capable of, cold-blooded murder would not come up as a possible answer on Family Feud.
No, at all. It wouldn't even be in the top 10. Everyone loved him.
Yeah.
And talked about what a sweet man he was.
Yeah. But like I like to say on this show, put a knife in that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Or well, in like last week's episode, put the scissors in that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Matthew from Murder Coaster. Great two-part episode. I had a blast recording with him.
It was fun to listen to.
Thank you. So Bernie's father, Bernhard Teed, he was born in the Ukraine. He was born in 1912 and he died in 1973. In 1926, his family immigrated to the U.S. and he was a professor of music and he taught at Our Lady of the Lake College in San Antonio, Texas, as well as other colleges throughout his life until his death. And Bernhardt, he liked them young. He married one of his students, Leah May Jester, and she lived from 1933 to 1960. He was 21 years older than Leah, and I guess at that time it wasn't frowned upon for professors to date their students.
I don't think so. But I feel like that's kind of been a thing for a really long time, until really just recently, that much older man, young woman, and people just kind of like were okay with it. I feel like it
Yeah.
hasn't really gotten icky until probably, I don't know, the last 10 years, 10, 15 years.
It's been
It's when
more than
people really
that.
like,
I
maybe
mean,
more than that, but it, maybe people haven't called it out as much.
right.
Maybe that's what I should say.
I mean, the way I look at it is, 18-year-old wants to mess with an older man. That's between the two of them. Is it creepy? Yes, but it's legal.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're legal. Is it weird? Yes, because I don't want to date my dad, but some people are looking for a new dad, so.
Well, I mean, my biggest, I was talking with somebody, it might have even been Todd. I was talking to somebody about this, and just like, oh yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy, but it's not so much creepy from the standpoint, it's a creepy from the maturity standpoint of the parties involved, because it's like, what the hell are we going to talk about? Who her favorite Backstreet Boy is?
Right. There's absolutely nothing in common.
And I
Yeah,
just
that.
dated myself. I just dated myself with that, the Backstreet Boys.
Right. But it's true. I mean, there's that, and that's where it is, really. What are you really going to talk about? Let's be realistic,
Right. If a older man gets with a like a young woman, and when I say young, I'm talking like 25 or younger.
Yeah.
They're in it for one thing.
Well, completely. Yeah.
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 But it's legal though.
It is. It is. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, she wasn't underage, so it's not like he was doing anything illegal.
Right.
And
But
apparently he really loved her, because then
oh
he felt terrible guilt after she died,
yeah, both yeah, and we're getting to that, and both of his wives. He loved both of his wives.
Yeah.
But they married in 1957, and Bernie was born shortly later. And he was born August 2nd of 1958. But in 1960, Leah was in a fatal car accident, and that was how she died. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. I couldn't help myself. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, because we've had
Yes. Yes.
that conversation. But I think I'm going to work that into like episodes. Oh God. And I'm not going to say, I can't say what I'm talking about. That would
No.
not be
Yeah.
professional.
No, it would not be cool, but
It's funny as hell though.
it is real funny.
Oh man. But they were in a car accident in 1960, and Leah died. There's no word on if she, before she died, if she like Mary Poppins herself through space, floated through
Yeah.
space. That's a Star Wars joke.
Yeah, no.
But Bernhardt had survivor's guilt, and he dove into a liquor bottle to compensate.
Yeah, even though his kids were really young, and that awful for them.
Yeah. But in 1963, so he didn't wait too long. But Bernhardt met and married Clara Wiley, and she was also 20 years younger than Bernhardt, and she became Bernie's stepmother, and then Bernhardt would die 10 years later.
Yeah. And Bernie was young, 15, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
When he died, let's see,
When his dad
63,
passed away.
63 is 7, 10 years old.
Okay.
In 63, oh wait, no, you're right. Bernie was with the first wife, so yeah, about 15.
Yeah. Which is tough. You lose your mom when you're three. And then, even though your dad did become an alcoholic, now you are an orphan at 15.
Yeah, it really sucks. And yeah, and the the survivor's guilt that he did. I mean, I'm guessing that he had a good relationship with his second wife, despite the his demons or whatever. But
I would say it. There's I haven't seen anything that talks about that he was necessarily a bad guy. Just that he drank too much after his wife died. His first wife died. You know.
Yeah. Bernie became a mortician at the Hawthorne Funeral Home in Carthage, and he was well loved in town. He did lots of charity work. He was active in the church, and he led the choir, and he would sing at funeral services, and he was a wedding singer as well. And he was also very active with the local, you know, like the playhouse, the local theater.
Yeah.
And yes, you know, I mean, he was very, very, you know, very pivotal figure in town. He you know, everybody loved him.
Yeah, everyone knew him. Everyone loved him. He was the polar opposite of Margie.
Yeah.
Of Marjorie, excuse me. I'm sure Marjorie would not like to be called Margie, but he was the polar opposite. I know, really. Who cares? But as much as he was liked, she was disliked because everyone thought he was such a good person. And it sounds like he was until he wasn't, you know?
Right. And well, yeah, there's the skeletons in his closet.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So he wasn't a heartthrob, and he was overweight and just kind of really plain looking. But with his stature in town and how friendly he was, it did attract the ladies. And he was like a prize. He was he had a target that the local ladies wanted him.
It's yes. Like
anybody, he was a commodity. Anybody that could land Bernie, oh yeah. But
he was. Well, you know, he's a nice guy. He's got a job. He's mm-hmm. well liked. He cares about his community. So, you know, and you're right. He was kind of goofy looking, actually. But yeah. He was a nice guy. And there probably weren't a lot of single men around. So
exactly. He found some, but put a knife in that.
True, true, true. But, you know, you got to work with what you got. And he was a nice person. And it sounds right. like he had a really great personality.
Right.
And so that makes up for a lot.
Yeah. And he also had like a very, you know, he was in the closet. He was gay, but he was in the closet mm-hmm. and he had a very effeminate voice too. So yes. it's just like, it's like, this is even more obvious about him being gay than it was for us metalheads when Rob Halford came out as gay.
Yeah.
Judas Priest. It's oh. like, it's just like, okay. I see it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, true. Like, when it finally came out, you're like, yeah, that was.
Yeah. Never thought about it. Should have picked up on that. Yeah, should have picked up on that.
Yeah.
And nobody totally. Cared. And nobody cared. No,
no and no one cared.
Yeah.
No, no one in the music world and no one in Carthage either. So everyone knew it. Bernie didn't say it or acknowledge it, but no one cared.
I was in a bar one night, this was years ago, and these two, I guess I guess the way they were bickering back and forth, I'm guessing they were roommates. I don't think they weren't gay. Well, one of them wasn't gay. And all of a sudden I hear, "You're gay. Everybody knows it, but you." That's one of the greatest lines I've ever heard.
Your friend is trying to help you find yourself.
Yeah. But I didn't know who these two people were, but they were bickering. The way they were bickering, they obviously weren't a couple. But,
right.
But so I'm guessing they were probably roommates.
Yeah. Close in some way for sure. If nothing else, really good friends. Yeah. Oh my.
That just kind of dropped in there. I was just like, what?
That's the best when you catch like little snippets of people's random conversations.
You're gay. Everybody knows it but you.
I'm trying to help you out, friend.
So Bernie was very good at his job, and he would go out mm-hmm. of his way to be kind and caring to the families of the people who had died. And he would stay in touch with like the spouses, especially the female spouses, like after the funeral, making sure that they were okay. And, you know, and that's part of the reason why everybody loved him. It's just like he's service after the sale, as far as, you know, the funeral director is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, even his boss said he could do everything, you know,
Yeah.
from the singing to taking care of a body, and then the afterwards, comforting people, you know.
Yep.
So
So this is how he came into contact with Marjorie Nugent. So let's talk about Mad Marge. She was born to a family who owned a grocery store chain, and she was spoiled rotten. And as she got older, she would flaunt the fact that she was very well to do, and she believed that she was above everybody else.
Yes,
She
she
was.
definitely wanted everybody to know how good she was.
Yeah. And so and she was also into lineage. For example, like if I was raised poor, but I made my fortune by hard work, she wouldn't be into me.
No, because you're new rich.
Right.
You weren't you weren't old money. You were
Right.
new money. That's different.
But then again, I don't think that her dad just magically got a successful, you know, just like was born into a successful grocery store chain. So it's a little hypocritical if you ask me.
Totally, totally, which is what I was about to say too. You read my mind. It's not like grocery stores were something, you know, like you have to work at that.
Yeah. And that's not just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know, but
Back then that was back then the concept of chain businesses was burgeoning, and so it's not like he was born into it. He built
right.
that. He built that.
Yeah, he built his own empire, so to speak.
Right. And
Yeah.
but if you know if they were the same age and single and everything, she would find that out and she'd tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
So, but so
Yes,
when
she was
she,
definitely very full of herself.
yeah, so but the man that she married, he was self-made too.
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah, so when she became an adult, she moved to Louisiana where she met petroleum geologist Rod Nugent, and he was rich, but he was rich because he went to school and did the right things to get where he was.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He worked to make himself the man he was. Yeah. So
I
it,
think
yeah.
we just figured it out. She wanted the lineage. She wanted the lineage, but she couldn't get it. So therefore, she took it out on everybody because she couldn't get the rich blood, the born rich blood. But I think we just
There
figured it
you
out.
go. I think you're right. She was pissed off because she really wasn't a true old money person, but she really wanted to be. I
Right.
think you're right.
Well,
She was
she herself is old money, but her dad and her husband weren't.
well, yeah. She had made it that way.
Right. So I,
She created that.
yes, I think we just figured it out.
Think so.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Exclusive.
Exclusive. I am not a licensed psychologist, but I have done a lot of research for the show.
But I portray one on this podcast.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, Greg Polson's not on Serial Killers anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just Vanessa now, with they have guests now. Yeah,
Oh, just sit and guess each time.
this is very recent, because I.
Well, I haven't listened in a while, but not for any other reason, but I like to try new podcasts and check out new people. So, you know, and then I'll go back to my old standbys, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Serial Killers for me is a standby, and I just happen to
Yeah.
listen to it. And like, yeah, Greg Polson's gone. Weird, because they even though that podcast was dry as nails, it was still really good.
I would say it's got lots of really good information. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rod was rich, and they quickly got married, and they had a son, Rod Jr., and in 1989, they moved back to Carthage. And Marge convinced Rod to buy a controlling interest in a local bank there. So Rod oversaw all of the money in town, and everybody liked Rod.
Yeah.
But Marge just wanted to flaunt her wealth to everybody. Like, well, I'm me.
Yeah, and apparently like to let people know that She could basically kind of buy and sell you if she chose to.
Yeah, I'm rich.
Yeah, that was kind of her whole byline. I'm rich.
I'm rich. Yeah, we're getting into that here right now. Marge was condescending, rude, and nasty, and she had a huge mansion built in town, and she also snubbed all the charities. So, and she was so cheap that she would even make scenes at restaurants arguing over bills.
Yes.
An OG Karen for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people that, well, my grandmother would have said she's so tight she squeaks when she walks. So.
She probably stiffed every server or every pizza guy as well.
Oh, you know it. Well, and
Yeah.
apparently no one was allowed to come to her beautiful mansion. She just wanted it to sit up there and everyone to look at it, but she didn't let anybody come over. Not that anybody really wanted to.
But it was a one story, which is odd to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that, you know, like a big mansion, if you're going to put all that money into it, just like you want the
But yeah, the big glorified,
yeah,
yeah.
but this was just
Like
like this was just a
the
spread
South
out,
Fork.
yeah, this was
You know,
just a
like
spread
back
out
in the day.
house.
Right, yeah, just a big rambling one-story house. But yeah, you would think she'd want like the big Dallas version of South Fork, big
Or like
showy
a
house.
modernized plantation type home.
For sure, yeah.
So upon moving back to town, she alienated her sister, and she and Rod Jr. had a huge feud, and she was nasty to him about his career choices, the women he dated, and pretty much anything.
Anything and everything, which her son was a doctor, so it's not like he was out just screwing around and doing nothing with himself, you know. But I just think, like you said, original Karen, it didn't matter what anyone did, you couldn't please her. She was gonna nitpick it and find fault no matter what.
And even if it was something that she suggested that you do and you do it, she's still going to flip on you. And
Yeah, because you probably didn't do it just exactly, so she's going to find fault. I
right.
mean, let's be honest. Poor Rod might have died to get away from Marjorie. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And
You know.
I'm not sure, but I think I may have said that at some point in these notes. I'm not sure, but I think I might have. Because that sounds like something
You
I'd say.
know.
So Rod left town and they didn't talk for years. And in 1997, Rod Jr. left town and they didn't talk for years. In 1997, Rod Sr. had surgery, and he was old and he didn't survive the surgery. And barely anybody attended the funeral because nobody wanted to be in the same zip code with Marge, let alone the same building.
Which is so sad because, like you said earlier, people liked Rod Senior, but they didn't go to his funeral just because they wanted to avoid his widow. So what does
Right.
that say about Marjorie? Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, she is.
Or she's a piece of work.
I may have dated. I may have dated or even maybe been married or engaged to one of her daughters. Or maybe, I don't know. But one person saw something in Marge that nobody else saw, and that was funeral director Bernie Teed. And
Yeah.
he had presided over Rod's funeral. And he was nice and caring to Marge, like he was to everybody. But the two of them struck up a close friendship, although they were polar opposites.
Oh. From all
And that's an
like
understatement.
aspects. Yeah.
Bernie was loved in Carthage. Marge was hated. Bernie was in his 30s. Marge was in her 80s. But you can make your own generalizations about this relationship. It was symbiotic or parasitic or maybe somewhere in between.
Codependent? I don't know.
Yeah. I think symbiotic and parasitic, somewhere in between,
Well,
would be codependent.
yeah, you're right. I know. That was a
But
little redundant, really.
it wasn't Bernie that was codependent on Marge, it was Marge that was codependent on Bernie.
Yes. And probably deep down, she was really lonely. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
yes, did she earn her loneliness? 100%.
Absolutely.
But you know, it was all her own fault because she was such an awful person to be around. But she probably really was lonely. And then once she got a hold of Bernie, she was not going to let him go because let's face it, with no Bernie, there's no one. No one wants to hang out with her.
Right. But Marge needed an errand boy, and Bernie knew that Marge was loaded. And that's the most obvious takeaway, but there was something else
Right.
there. They actually had a good friendship initially, maybe?
I mean, it sort of sounds, I'll say this. I know Bernie's got some other stuff in his background, but I do think he started with genuine intentions.
Maybe.
Maybe. I know. I go
We'll
back and forth.
we'll talk about that at the end because I
Yeah.
because I I've kind of I've kind of it might be a hot take, it might not, I don't know, but I
Yeah.
do have a take on this whole situation.
Yeah.
So.
I go back. Let me say this. I'll go back and forth on if he's just a scoundrel looking like a nice guy or if there was some genuine, you know, that he did feel bad for Marjorie. He did think that maybe she needed a friend, you know?
I do definitely have a take on this. And I, like I said, I haven't listened to enough podcasts about this to know if my take is like unique or if it's just something that everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
I don't know, but,
And I can honestly say I have not listened to anyone else's coverage. So I don't really know anyone else's feelings on it either.
Yeah. I had listened to, like I said, I had listened to one. It wasn't True Crime Kent and it wasn't Morbid because they just did theirs. Yeah. And I can't remember which one it was. But whatever. I mean, I did listen to
yeah.
I did listen to TCK, but still, it the one episode in their feed that I haven't listened to.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that one, but so Bernie got her to attend some of the musicals performances that he directed, and even got her out in the town to have fun. And Marge started to loosen up a little bit. She began spending money on Bernie, and lots of it.
Yes. And I think he really enjoyed living the high life,
Well,
so
who
to speak.
wouldn't?
Well, yeah. Who wouldn't want someone to just spend their money freely on you? I don't blame him for that one bit.
Yeah, I'll take a sugar mama.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm single.
Yeah.
But they were traveling the world together and there were rumors that they had a relationship. And maybe they were, but maybe they weren't. But Marge even started donating to charities through Bernie at that point.
Yes. Yes.
So, but still, even though she's doing it in Bernie's name, so she's still not trying to take credit for that. So she obviously likes this reputation that she has as a total bitch.
I was going to say she likes her mean girl image, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I'm naive, but I don't think there was a romantic relationship.
I don't
I
either.
really don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
No,
I mean, I think Bernie enjoyed all the perks of some rich old lady spoiling him, but I don't think there was, I really don't think there was ever a romantic relationship.
He was too busy doing other things, which we will get to.
Yeah.
So Marge still had a very bad reputation and nobody really cared about her extravagance and whatnot, but her stockbroker, Lloyd Tiller, did. In 19,
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, this guy's great.
Yeah.
Servicing the account. But of course, when you're dealing with that much money, yeah, you're going to go out of your way.
Yeah, and you should, because that's your job, to take care of your client.
Yeah, if I have six shares of, I don't know, paper towels, he's not going to come knocking on my door if he can't get in touch with me.
Right. Yeah. He's going to be like, oh, well. But right. Marge is a millionaire, though. So that's different.
Right. But she had made some great investments and he was trying to get in touch with her and she was nowhere to be found. And this got Lloyd's spidey senses going.
Mm-hmm.
He would repeatedly call Bernie, who would always have some excuse of why Marge wasn't available. She was out of town. She had a stroke, was in the hospital, outside of town, and blah, 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 whatever.
Right. Yeah. All the things, which took a lot of naps too. But you know,
Yeah.
the whole stroke thing, I'm like, you wouldn't. And I don't know. She was estranged from her family. So maybe you wouldn't report that to anyone else. But that was the one that got me the most. Well, she's had a stroke, but no one knows, you know.
Yeah. And if there, if you, unless you have like a minor stroke, you're going to come away with it with a speech slur, with a speech impediment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know somebody who had a minor stroke, and it was enough to scare him to death and put him into the hospital and everything, and he sounds fine. But
Yeah.
if it had been any worse than it was, he would have had that impediment, and which would have really screwed him, because he's one of these acoustic performers around town.
Oh, yeah. So,
He'd
yeah,
have
that would have been
been done.
yeah.
So, but in August of 1997, Lloyd asked the prosecutor, Danny Buck Davidson, for a favor. Danny Buck Davidson. Danny Buck Davidson. That sounds like a name of somebody that would run with Dick Darwin.
Yeah, it does. It's a little surprising that the man was or is as sharp as he is, because it's definitely a good old boy name.
Yeah. But it and he's more competent than our old pal Dick.
Totally. Yeah.
However,
Fact.
we have some commentary from Dick Darwin.
All right.
He weighed in on this. Apparently, he was familiar with this case and he knew Davidson.
Oh, okay.
All right, so here we go.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Dick Darwin here, Dallas detective. Now, Bill's correct. I did know Danny Buck Davidson, and I called him D-Buck. And he called me one time asking for advice on tracking down Marjorie Nugent, and I told him she's probably on ICE. And it wouldn't really be any big loss anyway. I told him to just leave the town in peace, and if she was still alive, she'd turn up. And we should just enjoy the peace and quiet. And if she did turn up dead, deal with it then. D-Buck didn't agree. And he severed all ties with me. That's his loss. Anyway, thanks for having me back on your show. Dick Darwin, Dallas Detective here, signing off. Thanks, Dick.
D-Buck. I'm going to call him D-Buck for the rest of the episode. But D-Buck talked to the bank where Marge had her accounts, and the bank CEO said that a few weeks prior, he had gone to her house to sign some papers, and Bernie was there, and he told him that Marge was bedridden and he couldn't see her. So
Which is
Bernie said, "I'll take the papers up to Marge." No, I'll do that over again. I'm not doing very good with accents lately.
well. I'm not any good with accents. You just get Texas. I'm terrible at anything else.
But Bernie said that he'd take the papers up to Marge and she could sign them. And the CEO agreed. If the CEO's coming to your house knocking on your door, yeah, that's of a bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bernie had
Hand
them,
delivering your papers.
yeah. So Bernie had them signed and brought them back out to her, and the bank CEO was satisfied and didn't think anything of it. So what I got to wonder is, did Bernie forge her signature?
I don't know, but at one point, Marge gave him authority to sign on her account. So,
That's just true, but at the same time, and this is before that happened. Well, no, she's already dead at this point. Spoiler.
right.
But
Spoiler alert.
so obviously he could forge her signature.
Right. But then, depending on what it was, if he's got permission, if she went down to the bank and said that he was allowed to sign on her account. So is it really even forgery anymore? I
But
mean, obviously
it was
pretending
her,
to be Marjorie
but
N.
it was her signature though. It was her
True.
signature. He had to go up, well, not upstairs because it's a single story, but he had to go into the bedroom
Yeah.
to get it and everything. So obviously he's passing this off as Marge's
Right.
signature. So
And that
apparently
is true.
he learned how to forge her signature.
Yeah, that's true. The good point that he, even though he had signing rights, he was also
He's keeping up
signing
appearances at
for,
this point.
he is. Well, he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so weird to me. And I know we'll get there, but why not just stage something? You're a funeral director, for crying out loud.
I'm laughing because you've been talking to Dick.
Yeah. We were talking, yeah.
Okay. But word got around that Marge and Bernie were in Vegas for a wedding, and D-Buck called Bernie's room and said that, and he said that Marge wasn't there.
Yeah, no one believes Marge is out gambling on the floor.
Right. Uh-uh. And, you know, he told D-Buck that, you know, and D-Buck's just like, well, she's not there with you. She's not at home either. Bernie said that she was too ill to travel. He was in Vegas, but he said that she had been at a Temple, Texas hospital for the past few weeks, and that drew a red flag because Bernie had told the CEO that she was at home when he got the signature.
Yeah.
So Bernie also said that to protect Marge's privacy, she was under the she was at the hospital under an alias, and she didn't want her sisters or her son to know where she was because she was afraid that they would come take her and put her in a nursing home.
Which we all know they weren't talking to each other and they didn't care. They hadn't talked to her in ages.
Right. But so, I don't think at this point that that's common knowledge.
And maybe so, but you know, there was really no reason for her to be under assumed name because no one wanted to see her anyway, except Bernie.
Right. I don't even think Bernie wanted to see her, to be honest.
I was saying at this point, and at this point, we know Bernie really didn't want to see her either.
Right.
You know?
And he's not seeing her because she's
he's
dead.
He's not. No. Exactly.
So,
in a freezer.
But Bernie also said that her son, Rod Jr., had been bugging Marge about his inheritance, and she was worried that he might come for her money.
Yeah.
He said that he'd be more than happy to talk at length with them once he got back to Carthage and he was hired as a wedding singer, and doggone it, that's what he was going to do. He was going to go sing at a wedding.
I think Bernie really was hoping at some point, you know, he would be discovered with, you know, he was always performing somewhere. And supposedly he, you know, was very talented according to the people of Carthage and people
I
who
heard,
saw him.
I heard audio. He's got a good voice.
Yeah, but I think deep down he was hoping to be discovered.
Yeah, but D-Buck ran a search on the alias that Bernie had mentioned, and that name wasn't admitted to any hospital in Texas at all.
Yeah.
So they actually believed that Bernie was doing all that he could to protect Marge, but once he got back from Vegas, he didn't call the investigator. See, that's real. That's not staged.
Yeah.
We used to edit that out, but I'm just like, fuck it, leave it in there. It's hilarious. But when I get like, tongue-tied and everything, because my brain works faster than my mouth does.
Yeah, I understand that.
But he didn't call the investigators like he had said that he would. So they tracked him down. He was at a local pizza restaurant where he was trading. He was treating a Little League baseball team that had just won the state championship to a pizza night on Marge.
Yeah. I mean, Marge ended up really paying for a lot of stuff.
She did. They pulled him right out of the pizza party and brought him downtown to talk. And he had some explaining to do about why he had lied to them about Marge being in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You got some explaining to do there, boy.
That's right.
And Bernie admitted that he had lied to them. Duh.
Yeah.
She wasn't in the hospital. She wasn't even sick. She had been kidnapped!
Nah, sort of.
And the kidnapper said that he'd better not involve the police or she would be killed.
they
had grabbed her from her home a few months earlier and there was a ransom for her and he had no idea who it was. And if it were me, I'd call bullshit right then and there because who in their right mind would be a Who in their right mind would want to be alone with a Mega Karen Supreme Marge for an extended period of time?
Yeah, they'd have done off to her anyway just because they were tired of listening to her. Because I'm sure if nothing else, the thread count on the sheets would have not been to her liking.
Or,
I don't like sitting here in this storage unit.
Yeah. It's too stuffy.
It's too stuffy. It's making my skin flare.
Yes. My hair is frizzing.
Bernie!
Which I feel like there was probably a lot of that in Bernie's life. Bernie!
Oh, absolutely.
Bernie!
Mm-hmm. Makes me think of the mom from The Big Bang Theory. You know, every time she would holler down at, what's the one who married Bernadette?
I have honestly only seen about maybe two or three episodes of Big Bang Theory. And it's not due to lack of interest, because, I mean, I like the episodes that I did watch. It's just I just haven't seen it. I just haven't had really time to sit down and binge a TV series that's like 12 seasons long or however long it is.
Howard's mother in the show is the traditional Jewish mother, but you never see her. In this very grating voice, she yells at him from upstairs, Howard! So...
You know what I pictured, honestly?
Owen!
Oh, yeah.
Throw Mama from the train.
Uh-huh. Owen!
Yeah.
And some of our younger listeners, if you have not seen the movie Throw Mama from the Train, that's an older movie, but you know what?
Go
you
watch.
Will love it. You will love it.
Go
that,
watch.
That movie is awesome. It's mm-hmm. classic.
It's Mama Fratelli. Hello. From the Goonies.
It is, but they don't know what that is either.
They don't know that either. I know.
But still, Throw Mama from the Train holds up.
It does. It's
it
fun.
It really does. So it holds up better than Ghostbusters, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
So I love that band. I love Ghostbusters too, but
yeah, that's good too.
Seriously, Throw Mama from the Train does hold up better than Ghostbusters. Not much better, but a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, investigators asked Rob Jr. to let them into her house, and Bernie couldn't just legally do it because he was just a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You got what I need. But Marge is just a friend.
That's right.
Marge is just a friend. I can't let you in. too much fun.
And again, children, go listen to Biz Markie.
That song, I'm not even a fan of like hip hop or anything like that, but I absolutely love that song.
Okay, I was gonna say though, you just have to appreciate that song because mm-hmm. it is what it is.
That song is brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it. There's a few hip hop songs out there that I like, but that one is probably my favorite hip hop song of all time.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
So. Damn. Wish I had thought about that before. I would have wrote something for it.
That was pretty good ad lib, I'll tell you.
Dropped the music in there and sang over it.
Yeah.
Have you gotten
that was pretty
to that
good
point?
Ad-lib, though.
Have you gotten that to that point in part two of Peter Curtin yet?
No, I have not yet.
Oh, okay. It's there. It's coming.
Okay.
Anyway. Where was I?
So Rod's letting them in.
Yeah. The truth was, is he didn't want, Bernie didn't want them anywhere near that house.
No.
Rod did come, but he didn't have a key to the house.
Well, I mean,
it's not surprising.
No, he hadn't been welcome in quite some time.
So, but they got a warrant. They broke in by taking the door off of its hinges, and they went in. And there was no sign that anybody had been in the home for months. And there was an overpowering odor from spoiled food coming from the fridge. And near the fridge, there was a deep freezer that had been taped shut.
Which, hello, red flag. Don't be so obvious.
Yeah, don't tape. Don't. It that seal that's on it, it's going to hold it. It's going to hold the lid.
Exactly. And
by taping it, you're not keeping anybody out. All it takes is a little bit of it.
Just pull it off.
A ballpoint pen could.
Yeah. Well, and it's like pointing a big arrow. Hey, something interesting in here. You know,
marks the spot.
Yeah. Most people don't go around duct taping their deep freezes shut, you know.
It wasn't even duct tape. It was like packing tape.
Oh, see, I remember reading duct tape. But either way, like, come on, it's just like a big arrow. Wah wah wah. Here you go. Look right here.
Yeah. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Exactly.
So they opened the freezer and it was full, and they began rummaging around, and underneath some peas and carrots, they found a bed sheet. That's not exactly something that you would put into a deep freezer.
No. Mm-mm.
Unless maybe you were hiding a body.
Yeah.
Under the bed sheet, there was more food and Marge frozen solid. She had been there a long time, long enough to accumulate freezer burn on her body.
Which is just kind of unbelievable. I mean,
that's horrible.
It's off. It really is. I mean, whether she was a terrible person or not, that's awful.
Yeah, but you know, we'll get to it later. But that scene right there is what seals Bernie's fate in court.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll get there. Yeah. If you know, you know. If you don't, wait.
Mm-hmm. Just hang on a second.
So, God, I'm not even to my handwritten notes yet. But next they went the complete wrong direction for a suspect. Rod Jr. stood to inherit all the money as far as they knew, and Bernie had steered them right where he wanted, and Rod Jr. was standing right freaking next to them.
Yeah.
One of March's accounts is being drained to the tune of $3 million almost. Investment, charitable donations, a house, a car, jet skis. And they asked Rod if he had been hitting the bank account. And Rod had one of the most rock solid alibis ever in the history of the planet. Marge had written Rod out of the will and disinherited him. He wasn't going to be getting any of the will. So who else could benefit? Marge's sisters?
No. You know,
she had run them off as well. But they weren't in the will either. And like Rod, they had no access to Marge's account. So who could have done it? Who could have done it? Nobody in town liked Marge, and the town probably would have, you know, would have thrown a parade in the murderer's honor.
Yeah. That's the thing. They were celebrating.
Yeah. So investigators did what I think they should have done initially. They investigated the transactions from her account, new lighting system for the local playhouse, a car, jet skis, etc. And they followed the trail, and it led to, drumroll, who?
Bernie. Yep.
Marge had made him power of attorney over her estate as well as the sole beneficiary of her will. But why would Bernie why would Bernie kill her? Why would Bernie kill her? Why indeed?
Yes. And then stuff her in the freezer.
Yeah. Everybody loved Bernie. Bernie wouldn't hurt a fly.
Right. He's the best. And half the widows in town wanted him to sing at their funeral.
They wanted him. They wanted him in her. They wanted him in their bed. Yeah. They wanted some Bernie.
Everybody wanted Bernie.
Everybody wanted Bernie. It's the exact opposite to the premise of Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've come 180 degrees with dead Bernie movies. Death and Bernie. Weekend at Bernie's, Bernie Teet.
Yeah.
So Bernie Teet is what would have happened if Bernie had survived and Weekend at Bernie.
True.
So, wow.
Man, who would have ever thought 7 degrees of Bernie?
Yeah, right. And by the way, Bernie Kosar from the Cleveland Browns, where I'm looking at you too. Well, actually, he played for Dallas as well.
Really? I will say, I don't know my sports.
No. Okay. Well, our football fans will get that.
Yeah, they will.
So it was just a random guy that popped in my head whose name was also Bernie.
Bernie. Yeah. I mean, you got to go with all the Bernies you know. Definitely.
So the only people who may have had a grudge against Bernie were the women who tried to hook up with him and that he had turned down because he was gay. And
right.
And these women that turned him down didn't hate him.
No, because he was nice. It's That's Bernie. The thing. It wasn't. Yeah.
It's Bernie. Bernie yeah. I must not be good enough for Bernie.
Right. That was a thing. They were just thinking that Bernie was holding out.
Bernie was the most, was Carthage's most eligible bachelor.
Yes. Yes.
I wish I was Lakeland's most eligible bachelor. Investigators confronted Bernie with the evidence, not to mention the frozen marmalade in the freezer.
Oh,
come on.
We're not there yet.
I thought I would like split you up laughing when I said marmalade.
You know what?
It took you a second, didn't it?
Well, that, and we haven't gotten there yet, but I just keep thinking about the way they get Marge out of the house. We haven't gotten there yet, but like.
Okay, you're going to have to tell that part because I missed it. I mean, I know they pulled her out. Hold, maybe not, maybe not, maybe not.
Uh-uh.
Okay, maybe not. But still, when we get there, you take it.
Okay. I mean, because Marge is so full of herself and it's finally like, it's like the ultimate come up episode. I mean, like.
Well, let's get there.
All right.
Bernie didn't try to lie again. He told the truth. And when the word went out about his confession, that's when the entire town went insane. Nope. Nobody could fathom that good old Bernie could even do this, and even if he did, the bitch deserved it.
Yeah, and everyone said, well, you know, he probably got tired of listening to her complain. Probably just snapped. Everyone was on Bernie's side.
I used One to woman's... love her, but I had to kill her.
That's right, in the words of Axel.
she's buried in my deep freezer.
That's right. Well, I mean, one woman in Carthage even said, oh, I, even though he did it, I would have quit him. I mean, like.
Yeah. But this news hit Carthage harder than a Texas tornado. Barney's a Texas tornado.
And they were blown away.
The town of Carthage was going nuts, and they didn't know what to think. Bernie said that the reason that he came up with the kidnapping story was because he panicked and didn't know what to do.
He did.
Yeah, he later confessed to shooting Marge 4 times with a .22 rifle that she kept on sight for shooting armadillo.
Yeah.
But,
well, they dig up your yard. They're a nuisance, you know.
But a 22? Is a 22 really going to be effective against an armadillo?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That shell? It's going to ricochet.
Nah, it'll work.
Okay. I don't know. 22 is not. Yeah. A 22 is the assassin's weapon because it's like, you know, it's great at short range.
Well, totally. Yeah. But here's the thing.
But if you're
armadillos
shooting
don't see well.
If you're shooting an armadillo, you're not going to get right up on the damn thing. It's going to run when you get near it.
Well, but they don't see well. So if you catch it in the daytime, you might get lucky.
Yeah.
They're nocturnal.
But they're cool, though. Armadillos are cool.
Oh, but man, they dig up the yard so bad.
They do. And I don't own my house, so I don't care if an armadillo comes and digs it up.
I mean, nothing is more frustrating. Look here, I sound like an old lady now. Nothing is more frustrating than you've worked all in your yard and then you come out the next morning and there are holes because the armadillos have been in your yard. Which is a true problem.
I'd rather have armadillos than fire ant beds popping up overnight.
Well, yeah, no, there is that, which you have to battle that too. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have the high temperature and the desert conditions and everything. We have the high humidity and alligators.
Well, it depends on where you are in Texas, though, because a lot of it, there's
probably parts in Texas that have alligators, like on the
alligators and high humidity. I mean,
on the East Coast, coast of Texas,
more on the east side. Yeah.
Yeah.
East part of Texas. Yeah. In West Texas, it's really nice. It is. It's arid. It's a desert and it's cool in the evenings. But yeah, more towards east, it is.
Yeah,
it's
but
humid.
A Florida boy like me is going to go to a place like that or New Mexico or Arizona specifically, and it's going to make their freaking nose bleed and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Your whole body's going to dry.
Yeah. It's like your skin feels like it's getting so tight that it's about to burst.
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, where I live, we're right on the edge of all the humidity. And so it's a lot of times in the summer, you're at like 75% humidity. It's gross, but you're used to it. And when we go to New Mexico,
we got 90% humidity here.
I know. I mean, y'all are worse, but I'm just saying it's not great, you know. But yeah, when we go to New Mexico, it's like every bit of moisture has been sucked out of my body. Like,
oh, I know. When I was driving over the road, I was going back and forth from California to New Mexico to Arizona, like for an entire month. And I thought I was going to die. I went through like two large bottles of moisturizing lotion.
Yeah.
In a month. I mean,
it's crazy. And we all complain about the humidity and about the heat, but I'm not going to lie. Anytime we go, which I love New Mexico, we go at least once a year.
It's beautiful.
I love it. So, you know, no one in New Mexico hate on me because I love it. But the, you know, handful of days we're there, like, oh my gosh, how do you stay moisturized? So then I kind of think maybe I don't dislike the humidity so much.
Yeah, I'll take my Florida summers over that any day. Seriously.
Yeah. Same. And I'll take the 106 because I don't like to be cold.
Well, we don't get 106 very often, maybe two or three times a year.
Well, see, now that's the thing, though. We get
But still, our average is like 98 degrees with like 100% humidity. And
yeah,
believe me, that's miserable. But
well, it is because the humidity just tacks it on. Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, hashtag, but I digress.
Yeah.
First time I've said this.
And now for your weather report.
God, we really haven't digressed. We've really been talking the story the entire time.
We haven't, but at the same time, we have gone off on a few jaunts, like our weather report just now.
Well, just now. That's the first time.
True.
So, let's see. He later confessed to shooting. Okay, I already said that.
But in the back. He shot her in the back. I mean, come on, Bernie.
Yeah, four times in the back. But Bernie's side of it was, Bernie's side of it, and this is why I don't do handwritten notes anymore.
I know, it's hard to keep your spot.
Yeah, Bernie's side of it, as for his motive, was that Marge was just horrible to him, just as horrible to him as she was to everybody else. Damn it. How did I do this for the first 6 months, the first 8 months of the podcast? She never had anything good to say about anything that he said or did. And, you know, he said that he didn't kill her for the money. He just said that Marjorie treated him like a slave. And
well, she probably did.
Of course she did. That's Marjorie's MO.
Yeah. Everyone's there to serve Marjorie.
Yep. He was her errand boy nonstop. And she would also make him comb her hair and clip her toenails and even pluck the gray hairs from her chin. And ew. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's horrible. I mean,
that is, I mean,
nobody deserves that. Well, BTK deserves that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they, damn it, you Bernie, you should have just put, yeah, you should have just sent BTK up to Colorado or wherever the hell he is, and just put her in the cell with him.
Yeah. Look away.
We are going to redo BTK at some point. Very soon. It's coming. But just wonder when we're going to do it. Because I don't want to do it. I don't want to revisit that one. But our BTK two-part episode is horrible. It's...
Well, I have my first one. The content's good, but the delivery's not. So I know exactly what you mean. I really should redo it.
The only reason I've been thinking about it is because I've asked people, it's like, you tell people not to listen to it. Are you going to redo it so we can listen to your take on it? Okay, I guess. Yeah. I'll do it. And we'll give it the treatment that it should have gotten initially. I mean, we tackled that one too early on. I wasn't ready for it.
I know what you mean.
So, but.
Well, and talking about reading from handwritten notes.
That too.
Trying to keep your place and all the things. So, yeah, all the things.
So,
and you know, I think that going back to Bernie, I think that at first he was okay to take Marjorie's abuse because I don't think she was ever probably pleasant, probably not even in the beginning. But she was spoiling him. And I think for a long time, he thought, I can handle this. I can take her abuse because I have all this stuff. I mean, like, she bought him a Lincoln Continental, for crying out loud. Yeah. You know, he was like, great, I can do this. But then, you know, that gets old real fast.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't care how sweet you are.
Yeah, I mean, but she would belittle him for anything and, you know, anything that he did for himself, like his work at the theater, basically anything that didn't directly benefit Marge.
Right. That took Bernie away from Marge.
Bernie!
Yeah.
Owen! And then one afternoon he snapped and they were in the garage, and the armadillo gun was leaning next to a wall, and she was just like in on him. Like, you're always sitting there like that. You're spending all that time in that damn theater. You're not talking to me. I'm Marge. I need you in my life. I just, you're the only thing that matters to me. All right, I'll stop.
But exactly. All those things. All those things.
Yeah. And. I do want to bet Marge was bipolar as well.
I mean, very possibly.
Narcissist and bipolar.
Definitely narcissist, for sure.
Probably bipolar, too. But,
yeah, I mean.
So, he grabbed the gun and he shot Marge in the back four times. Bernie's fingerprints were on the gun and the bullets recovered matched the gun. Done deal. So, but the coroner determined that she had been dead since November of 1996, 40 weeks or 9 months earlier.
That doesn't look good.
No. Bernie put her, according to Bernie, he put her in the freezer until he could figure out how to give her a proper burial.
Yeah.
He then realized that she had been, that he, okay, he... It's so funny. We've had people, you know, like guests on and everything, and it's like, you know, parts that got cut out and everything. So it's like, I thought that was something that you were doing as a bit. No, it's not a bit. It's real. I get tongue tied so fucking
bad.
But he then realized that he had been named the sole beneficiary in the will. and that he could do a lot of good around Carthage with Marge's money in her name. Yay!
Right. It was all for the people of Carthage.
Yeah, that's it. The jet you skis, know. The jet skis that he got for himself, the house that he bought for himself. Even, yeah, anyway.
He did buy a bunch of cars for other people in town, though.
He did.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Funded some stores and businesses.
He began donating large amounts of money to charities and churches and, of course, expensive toys for himself.
Yes, yes.
So D-Buck charged Bernie with first-degree murder. And like I said before, that sent Carthage into a frenzy. It's Bernie! This was a mistake!
But old Bernie could have never shot an old lady in the back.
No!
Four times.
No.
Never.
Those weren't his fingerprints. They were off by just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He would never do such a thing. Even if it never. Was Marjorie. But never. According to the people of Carthage, she probably deserved it. So there you go. Poor Marjorie. She was misunderstood.
Yeah. She was. Yeah. She was just trying to toughen the people up for the coming recession.
Exactly.
That's what she was doing.
Yeah, she was like, "You people need to just toughen up, Buttercup."
Yeah, she tried to educate them. She's like, "Look, I'm sad, but y'all aren't, and there's a recession coming."
Right. You better tighten your belts. Learn to live because
this
live
was
within
the,
your
this,
means.
This was the late '90s. The recession was already starting at that point.
Right, and oil had been, you know, it already. People should have learned back in the '80s.
Yeah, oil had been outsourced at that time.
Yeah.
Well,
live within your means, people. Yeah.
Marjorie was a saint.
That's right.
They talk about Bernie having the town's best interest and everything. No, it was Marge.
It was really Marjorie. Right. That's exactly what it was. She didn't want anybody to go bankrupt. She was thinking of history. She didn't want it to repeat itself.
Right. She was a saint.
She was.
I'm not going to tell my listeners that I'm being facetious, but I will tell your listeners that I'm being facetious.
I hope they can pick up on the sarcasm. I bet they can.
Just, I don't want to get an email saying, that wasn't what was going on. You'd be surprised what you get emails about.
Well, yeah. I will say I have very nice listeners, the ones who truly listen to me. Then I do get some cranky things from people who I just think are Karens and they just want to complain.
We had, this is a while back, we had somebody, you know, like give us a 1-star review on Apple saying that we're boring and monotone.
Well, I got one that said, and I will say this, it was my very first episode. Is it full of ums? Totally, because it's the very first episode I ever did. And they said, too many ums. Some people shouldn't have a podcast. Well, I don't see you with one. So rose on your nose, you know, yeah. Come on.
But I follow that up with an
It happens.
But
ums happen.
We're not... I mean, that became a running joke. It's just like, we're not monotone. Todd, maybe a little bit. Not really, but I could see that. Yeah. But I'm not monotone.
No, not at all. People, it's just, you know, I feel like it's like, were you having a bad day? If that made you feel better, okay.
T. Maria 13, if you email me again, because I know you're still listening. But
probably.
But yeah, email me, apologize, I'll send you a free t-shirt.
There you go. All can be forgiven.
Yeah. Anyway, Bernie had confessed to the murder and everything, and the citizens of Carthage didn't care.
No.
But the devil is in the details. And police found something that the Carthage conservatives wouldn't like, and it was a box of VHS tapes.
Oh yeah,
there was Bernie. He was getting freaky with men. each one had Bernie with a different man, and he was making gay porn. And
yeah.
And I don't know if like it was like a hidden camera type thing or if the camera was sitting there mounted, but I'm betting it was probably a hidden camera.
Maybe so. You know, it never really says, and it's kind of glossed over, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
it would have to be because some of the people that were there were like prominent members of the community who were married.
True, true.
So
but
it would
you
have
know,
had to have been a hidden camera type of thing.
Maybe. But then I do think some people get so full of themselves that they think, oh, well, we're doing this, but he would never expose me. Not me.
But if you're going to cheat on your spouse, do not do it in front of a video camera. I don't care if a man is cheating with a woman, if a woman is cheating with a man. If you're going to cheat, don't do it.
Don't record it.
Yeah, don't record it. And
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But people are dumb.
People are stupid.
And very full of themselves because they think they'll never get caught. They don't think that the guy that they are hanging out with has also killed his old lady companion and stuffed her in a freezer. So, you know.
But still, I mean, it's just, a lot. And some of these people were like city government officials as well.
Yes. And they were. Yeah, they were high ranking people in this, you know. But I think that's the problem is your ego gets the better of you and you really think that you're invincible.
Untouchable,
you know? Yeah.
But, like I said, some of his partners were well-known citizens of Carthage. But because of this, D-Buck asked for a change of venue because there was no telling how many men Bernie had gotten freaky with. And what if one or more of those men had wound up on the jury?
True. Yeah. Well, and besides that, they also didn't think the little ladies were going to convict him because they loved him so much. I mean, they wanted him to be their companion, too. I mean, they were willing to overlook that he shot Marjorie.
Exactly. But so the trial was moved 50 miles away to St. Augustine. Now, I don't know. I looked it up, and St. Augustine is 890 miles from Carthage, Texas.
I think you got the wrong state.
What?
You know, St. Augustine, Florida, St. Augustine, Texas. Maybe.
There's a St. Augustine, Texas?
Yeah. Hey, we got a Paris and a London and a Greece, too.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. That makes sense. I mean, that's, change of venue has never gone state to state before. But I don't know.
All
right. Whatever. Okay. All right. I stand corrected. So February. February 1st, 1999, the trial started. Prosecutors painted Bernie as a con man who befriended and then murdered Marge. And honestly, what else could it have been? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, why would he put up with all of Marge's vitriol? I mean, it was a meal ticket, according to D-Buck. And he slowly weaseled his way into her life, and they began taking trips together, like trips all over the world and everything, in first class every time.
Right. That's the thing. It wasn't like they were going on the cheap. Everything was first class. So he was living the good life. And his sister even at one point said, Bernie liked nice things, you know?
Yeah. And
so there you go.
And you know what? Marge, as horrible as she was, I think that Marge genuinely did love Bernie. Maybe not in a romantic sense, but in a platonic sense.
I do. I think she had been alone for a long time and to her own making, you know, but.
Right. And
you
can't teach an old dog new tricks.
No.
Let me rephrase that. You can't teach an old bitch new tricks.
There you go. Yeah. But I think she got real worried that, and I think that's why she became so possessive of him, was that she was worried he would just leave her like everyone else because she was so hateful. And so, right. But in that regard, it didn't help her case. It got her killed.
But that's exactly what Bernie should have done. He should have just fucking hauled ass.
Yeah, just walk away. Right.
I mean, what's she going to do? She's 80-something.
Right. She's not going to come get you. And
you can hire a hitman.
I guess. But she's too cheap, so you don't have to worry about that.
That's true.
She's not going to pay.
Right.
I mean, she's not Wanda Holloway.
So, I mean, it. Yeah, he, according to D-Buck, he slowly weaseled his way into her life. And they began taking trips together, like all over the world, like I said, and in first class every time. I think I already said that too. Okay.
Yeah.
New podcasters, don't do handwritten notes. I learned that lesson the hard way, and I'm doing it now too. But the biggest piece of evidence, though, was the bank records after Marge's death, and you know that's kind of hard to overlook.
Yeah, there's no getting around that.
No, the defense spun it as self-defense. She had verbally abused Bernie to the point of his, you know, to his breaking point, and he snapped.
Yeah, they kind of compared him to a battered wife.
Yeah, but she never laid a hand on him.
No, she didn't.
They admitted that Bernie stole. They admitted that Bernie did steal the money, but at least his heart was in the right place. You know, cars, houses, and jet skis. Oh my!
Right, he wouldn't do anything bad.
But unless he was there for a money, unless he was actually there for the money, there was an easy way out of this abusive situationship. Leave!
Right, walk out. Exactly.
Bye-bye, bitch.
Right. See ya.
I got 99 problems and a Marge ain't one.
There you go.
But just leave her alone and don't look back.
Yeah, it's not, that's all you got to do is walk off.
Yeah.
And you know, like, supposedly he claimed he was worried she'd be lonely. Come on. Just.
If you hate her enough to kill her, you don't care if she's lonely.
Right. No, you do not.
So, the jury had to decide if Bernie was a cold-blooded killer or Robin Hood. Or somewhere in between. And at that point, it could have gone either way. Until the prosecutors presented the video from Marge's body being taken out of the freezer. And that sealed Bernie's fate.
Yeah.
She looked like a monster. One man said that Stephen King couldn't have planned that moment any better than D-Buck did. And the jury was horrified. And
well, I saw no matter how much they disliked her.
I saw pictures from the video. Yeah.
And that's the thing. No matter how much they disliked her, no one wants to see someone like that. It's awful.
No.
It's inhumane.
Yeah. And yeah, it looked bad. You know, speaking of Stephen King, that scene where what's his name in The Shining is like frozen. That's not far off.
Oh yeah.
Not far off.
Yeah.
Not far off.
Yeah.
He didn't even realize that. I wouldn't even be surprised if that came up in it's like, look at this picture of Marge and look at this picture from The Shining.
Right? It's straight out of a horror movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I would, if you told me that happened, I wouldn't even question it. I'd be like, no. Yep, I know it.
Yeah.
So, here we go again. I've only done it like 3 or 4 times.
And that's
it
good.
And it hasn't been that bad to where I just like totally just like took 30 seconds to reconfigure. So on February 11th of 1999, Bernie was found guilty of first degree murder. And he got life in prison plus a $10,000 fine. Where's the $10,000 legal fees?
Yeah.
Attorney fees?
I guess.
It's got to be because where's that money going to go?
Right.
You know, and speaking of all this, I have a, you know, the Dick Darwin, I promised you to. He's back. He gave me a little bit of a commentary on this episode as far as, well, we already gave you a little bit of it with his falling out with D-Buck, but yeah, he has some commentary about the actual trial
and what he thinks.
So I'm going to play that right now. Hello again, everybody. Dick Darwin here, Dallas detective. This case is a perfect example of the incompetent police work that plagues law enforcement these days. It's plain as day that Bernie was just fulfilling Marge's wishes. The whole story of her abusing him, that was a front. The real story was that Marge wanted to die, and they came up with a plan to deflect attention away from Bernie, and that's why she named him the sole beneficiary in the will. The original plan was for Bernie to hire a hitman and make it look like an MS-13 hit. But then her son, Rod Jr., he had to kidnap Marge and screw the whole thing up. You see, it was Rod. It was Rod who killed Marge, and he framed Bernie for it. Rod made these homosexual VHS tapes with a man who looked like Bernie in order to frame him. And D-Buck used the tapes to bend Bernie into confessing to the murder. So D-Buck is now a local superstar while the real star sits in prison for a crime he did not commit. This is Dick Darwin, Dallas Detective, signing off. Thank you once again for having me on your show. And in parting, Jessica, you're a charming young lady, and I am honored to meet your acquaintance. Thanks, Dick.
I appreciate that, Dick. Thank you so much.
Dick likes you.
He's a charmer, man.
Back in Carthage, the town was divided in their opinion. And leading up to this, Marge's relatives, who hated her, all of a sudden loved her, and hoping to get a cut of the inheritance. And, I'm not sure. I couldn't find anything about what happened to the money.
I haven't ever heard either. I don't know where it is.
I would imagine that it got divided up amongst her family. That's probably what I would think. But
yeah,
but that's a nice detail that's kind of left out in the story.
It is because you don't really know, but it is. They didn't care one thing about her, but all of a sudden they did want that money.
Yep.
And then they told Bernie he was a horrible person and he robbed them of spending any more time with
one.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't spending time with her anyway. Quit
just
pretending.
Fuck off.
Exactly. Just say you want the money. Just be honest.
The whole family's fucked in the head.
They are. They're just not nice people in general.
No.
Really pretty.
But I don't think that Bernie deserved life in prison.
I don't either.
I think maybe 15 or 20 years, maybe. But not life.
I don't either. I do think it was kind of more of a crime of passion. I think he snapped. I don't think he planned it. I think he just got pissed off and was.
Yeah.
Like,
and honestly, I think the same thing. But there are plenty of people who have done worse and gotten out much earlier.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's like the serial killer. I can't remember his name in Colombia. He killed hundreds and hundreds of people. And they only made him go to jail for 13 years, and then he got to walk around for free. I mean, come on.
I think he died this year. He got released this year, and he died this year. Navarrito, I think his name is.
Yes, that's his name. Yes.
Yeah. He got released this year, and then he died.
And they died, which couldn't happen to a nicer guy, you know?
Exactly. You know what? That's karma.
Yes, that is total karma. But you're exactly right. There are so many people who, and it's not right to kill anyone.
No,
but many still, worse.
If you're gonna let, like, you know, the, I mean, how many freaking serial killers wind up walking after like 6 years or something?
Right, right. That's what I mean. There are so many worse, more evil people that that's their intention is to go out and kill and harm people. And I don't think Bernie killing Marjorie was premeditated. I think he just
he just lost it.
He did. And now, he was like, well, you old biddy.
Could he have walked away? Yeah. But still totally. if you're sitting there and you're in a situation, yeah, okay, I said earlier that maybe that Marge was codependent on Bernie. Maybe let's walk that back a little bit. Maybe Bernie over time wound up, I think they were codependent on each other.
On each other. I think he liked being important to her.
Right. And so, and then he just finally just freaking lost it. It's like, I can't take it anymore. Oh, look, there's the armadillo gun.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, what a crazy case. I mean, like I said, you know us well. It's like one of the craziest. It's definitely up there in the crazy factor with anything that we've ever covered.
With anything. And did you see where Bernie, he actually not that long ago, sued the state of Texas for better conditions? He wanted air conditioning in the prison.
Did
you come across that?
I think that sounds familiar, but I didn't really focus on that.
That just puts the capper on everything. You're in prison because you killed your old lady friend, but now you're suing the state of Texas because you need some air conditioning while you're in the pen.
What's Texas?
No. It's hot.
I was in Texas one time back in 2003. I was the tour manager of a British rock band, and they played Dallas. It was in the middle of July, and the AC in the bus crapped out.
Yeah,
and like the record label would not allocate money for a hotel for us.
Ugh.
And it's just like, you know, I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, the record company is freaking, you know, in England, but never
they don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it gets 80 degrees and people start dying in England.
Right. Yeah.
And 90, but still. It doesn't happen very often there, but I'm in freaking Texas in July in a tour bus, which is basically a freaking, you know,
tin can.
Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? I mean, a day and a half we were in that thing and it was fucking miserable.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it's
like the bus driver and I, we knew each other. And you know, obviously we're from Florida and everything, and yeah, you know, we've got six British guys on the bus with us. And
I bet they thought they were in hell.
They were. It was miserable. And I even, you know, me and the bus driver, we were even talking. It's just like it would actually be better if we were in Florida.
Oh, so this summer. It was extremely hot this summer. It was one of those with record highs. But we went to an amusement park and my younger daughter sat down in the ride and burned herself because the handles on the ride were so hot.
Wow.
So we had to leave. And I mean, and they weren't severe, but she was like,
and by the
I'm
way,
burning.
By the way, you know? I said 97 degrees. It was 107. I figured when you said
July in Dallas.
I had Florida on the mind. It
yeah.
97, 98. That's normal in
that's
July.
That's not bad.
It is when you have 100% humidity.
No, but I meant if you in July here, 97 or 98 would be just downright cool. Yeah.
I know. But no, that's why we were like, yeah, it would actually be better if we were in Florida.
Yeah. Yes, because you'd have the humidity, but right. No, completely. Yeah. We lived for a little while. We lived north of Dallas in a small town north of Dallas. It's just as hot there as it is People think because it's in North Texas and it gets cold in the winter, but right. It's hot. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just like, okay, in Texas, it obviously gets hotter than Florida. But in South Carolina, I lived in the Carolina, both Carolinas for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be like, you know, it would be like 103 degrees or whatever with 100% humidity. And the people up there, well, at least we're not in Florida. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. Yeah.
It's like 5 degrees cooler in here in Florida. Now, granted, the summer lasts longer in Florida than it does in the Carolinas. But
yeah,
it might crack 100 degrees maybe 3 or 4 times a year. And during the summer in the Carolinas, it might dip below 100 maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah, it's more like Texas in that regard. Yeah,
Florida. You gotta be here to understand Florida.
Yeah, I've visited a few times, and I'll say this: we went to Disney spring break a few years ago. Man, it was downright cool in the mornings. It was great.
In the spring, yeah. In the summer, the sun comes up, and 30 minutes later, it's 85 degrees, and you know, an hour or two later, it's 95 degrees. And
at least you wait till the sun comes up, because here you wake up and it's already 85 or 90 degrees and the sun's not.
Oh, believe me. I know. Summer. I was in Texas in a tour bus with no AC in July.
It's summer. Yeah. You know.
So anyway, thanks a lot for listening. Thank you, Jessica, for coming on. I had a freaking blast with
oh, it was a pleasure. I have had so much fun. Thanks for having me.
I think we'll probably do it again at some point. That was fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
And check out her podcast. Where do you have a website?
I do not have a website, but I'm on Instagram at Texas True Crime Pod. I'm on Facebook at Texas True Crime. And you can always, you can find me on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, all the regulars. So.
Okay. It's a good podcast. It's a really good one. I enjoy it. It's one of the ones where I listen to every, you know, whenever she drops a new episode, I'm on it.
Well, thanks. And same here. I listen every week. So.
And so, our stuff, everything's there at ckcbpodcast.com. Every possible, we have all the links to like every platform that there is, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, whatever you do, we've got it linked there. It's a one-stop shop. and our social media links are there as well. I haven't done the begathon in a while, so I'm just going to do it now. Just like, subscribe, and 5-star, you give us a nice review.
Tell a friend.
And do this, you tell a friend, and do the same thing for Jessica here.
Support your podcasts.
Yeah, support your podcasts. I mean, we're in a big pool, and I won't go there. But but anyway. Thanks for listening, and until next week, later.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
You see that?